There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk. Talking to you at 343-0106. 343-0106 also works on the text line, and some great text. We'll get into those as well. And it's good. It's this time of year. It's like one of those harbingers. You know that fall is coming when my friend Ashley Davis from the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce comes to see us to talk about the Delta Dash. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
So Delta Dash, now how many years of Delta Dashing have we been doing?
This is year number eight.
Year number eight of the Delta Dashing. This is, yeah, everybody's got some run they do. Oh, yeah, we got the run. We got the 5K, this and that. Those don't get my attention. But since the word go, Delta Dash has. Tell folks what this race is all about.
Well, the Delta Dash is a 5K obstacle course mud run.
Okay, wait. So you're not just running a pavement.
You're getting muddy and dirty, and you're cool. Crossing over obstacles, and it's a lot of fun. The first 7 years of the event, we launched the race from Lower Bryant Landing in Stockton, and this year a lot has changed, and we're now racing out of Live Oak Landing right there in Stockton, Alabama, north of Interstate 65. Beautiful course, beautiful trails. I mean, if you just want to come walk it and take in the scenery, you're going to have a good time. It's an absolutely gorgeous place if you've never been there.
And even if you have in the old days, had gone to launch at Live Oak or whatever, if you haven't seen it since all the stuff has been done. I think we had a scout camping trip or something there about a year and a half ago, and I said, holy cow, this is fantastic.
Oh yeah, there's new boat launches, new floating platforms, new pavilion, camping areas, RV campgrounds. It really is an amazing place. If you haven't been in years, or if you've never been, definitely check out the facilities. They have a disc golf course out there.
It really is. And it's, I mean, the geography is still the same, and it puts you right there at the door of the Delta to get out and do things on the water, but the facilities are fantastic. So now we're going to race through that property.
Yep, we've partnered with the Baldwin County Commission and Wild Native there at Live Oak Landing to put together a course on existing trails. They're absolutely beautiful. How to get a little creative with some stuff with being there at the landing. It's like starting from scratch, essentially building a new course. But we've got a lot of the favorites coming back, and we've got some new stuff and
obstacles
trails.
Too. People that have never watched one of these races or raced in one of them, y'all, this isn't just strapping on your shoes and running down the paved road.
Oh, no.
This is a different thing.
No, you've got everything from... I mean, it's challenging enough for all fitness levels. It really is. If you're a family and your kids and you're doing it together, you can have fun and have some team building. Mm-hmm. If you want to go out there with some girlfriends, have a good time, go through the course, challenge yourself a little bit, you can. But if you're competitive, the course is laid out in a way that's going to be challenging for you. If you want to win this thing, you're going to face some challenges. Obstacles are put in a certain order to tire you out and to challenge.
So there's a design to that, actually.
Well, there is a design, and this is Thomas Brown with CrossFit Bay Minette is actually a good friend of ours and has ran Delta Dash for years, and he came on board this year to help us when we were designing the new course. And of course, him being in fitness puts way more thought into it, and we wanted to make it not just a run. So you can't just be fast, and you can't just be strong. You have to have stamina, you have to have strength, and you have to have that endurance if you're competitive and you want to win. Otherwise, if it's a great total body workout, a fun Saturday morning, a beautiful course, There's food and beer at the end.
Yes.
Fusackley's is actually catering the food this year, so we're excited to have them on board. Golf Distributing here in Mobile is working with us for the beer. We got Pepsi out of Atmore providing drinks and beverages. There's lots of shade at the landing, so I know it's been hot lately. Mm-hmm. Hoping we get some rain or we won't have any mud.
Right.
But
it's supposed to tomorrow and into Friday morning.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Oh, you get the hold on to it long enough for there to be mud there. Now, you know, I think about it because road races, just regular road race running, have you ever seen it on TV other than them showing the finish line? You never see it.
No.
But these kind of races make TV. I mean, that, y'all, it's interesting. I mean, to me, somebody who would be bored by a road race is really interested in stuff like the Delta Dash.
It really is. It has a following. Anybody that's ran Spartans or Tough Mudders, this is essentially a version of that. Now, mind you, we're not a corporate mud run. We're, it's locally built. It's 100% volunteer driven. The only staff that works on the event is the chamber staff, which is me and one other person. There's a group of about 25 core volunteers who put everything together and get it ready for the day of. We have great partners with contractors to build the obstacles. And then the day of the race, we have 200 volunteers who give up their day to come out and make sure it's successful, it's safe, and it's fun for everybody.
All right. If somebody has not gotten signed up, can they still sign up?
Yep, we can still sign up. Registration is open until it's full. We're right at 500 runners right now.
So
there's 100 spots left. Registration is $55 right now through Saturday. There are team discounts available if you start a team. Sunday, late registration starts, and it will be $65. So if you want to register, $65. So register now before Saturday.
Where do we go to do that?
Delta-dash.org.
Okay. And we'll put that link up on our Facebook page as well.
Good.
Hey, Todd, because this is part of the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
You're putting this on. Talk to me, because we talked off the air like we've done so many times. There is so much to offer with North Baldwin County.
Oh, yeah.
And we spend our time, at least on my show, unfortunately, talking about the western portion of Baldwin County, the eastern shore. Bay Minette and surrounding communities, there's so much to talk about in North Baldwin.
There is. And, you know, Delta Dash is one event. It's through the chamber. It's hosted by the Young Professionals, provides scholarship money. It's raised $150,000 in eight years. It goes back in the community. We, you know, Bay Minette is the county seat, and we have the courthouse there. And coming up
that
in
y'all stole.
We didn't steal. There was a legislative act that said it was ours, and Daphne wouldn't give it back to us, so we went and took it. And it was not in the middle of the night, but I say that to say over the past few years, the Baldwin County Archives Department has hosted a reenactment the second Thursday in October on Courthouse Square, and it's grown every year, and we have elected officials that come out and dress the parts and tell the story. We were fortunate enough, Grant Blackburn, a local attorney and family from Bay Minette, his great grandfather was a part of it. He researched this when he was in college and wrote a paper on it and pulled, you know, diaries and newspapers and got the real story, what you could piece together from two feuding sides. And we have a really good account of what happened. And they call it Removal Day Celebration. Removal Day Celebration. And you come out and there's going to be food and beverages. There's a car show. This year they've added a dessert contest to it. But what's really cool is people...
Y'all are just gloating over Daphne. Basically, what y'all are doing is throwing a party to gloat over Daphne.
We've had a hard time getting people from Daphne to come and be a part of it. And we
come
really
on,
want
Daphne.
Them to, because we have Mayor Wills and our friend Cliff McCollum, who used to be with the newspaper in Baldwin County, now with the delegation. They are actually doing the storytelling, and one tells the Daphne side and one tells the Bay Minette side, and it's kind of feuding back and forth. And we have... we've had our police chief involved before, county commissioner, different employees with the county dressing up. And we had horses and carriages and the whole nine yards last year. We had a little jail set up to tell that part of the story, how we went in and took it apart from the inside out. But it really is an amazing event. Felicia Anderson with the Archives Department does a phenomenal job.
Because I think a lot of people have, like, the basic story probably incorrectly, like I do.
Yep.
And I'm a Mobile guy, but I'd always heard about, Bay Minette stole the county seat and stole it from Daphne. But there, I mean, you're talking about the jails. They physically took...
Yeah, the nuts and bolts and spittoons.
They went to Daphne and took the county seat stuff and then carried it to Bay Minette.
Yep, on horses and in wagons. The quick version of the real story is there was an act of the legislator said the county seat was moving to Bay Minette because it was the center of population at the time.
Okay.
The railroad was there. Everything was established. So Bay Minette built a courthouse, and when it was time to turn over the records, Daphne wouldn't give them to us. So they came up with a plan, went down there, lured the sheriff. That's the fuzzy version, whether they lured the sheriff away or they turned somebody in and locked him in the jail and took everything. But like the written accounts in the newspapers and in the journals are, you know, they took it pins and, you know, lock and pin. They took it apart from the inside out. They took everything down to like the desk, the chairs, the spittoons, the everything. And my favorite part of the story that doesn't ever get told, so I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
Is after it was all said and done, there was a group in Daphne who got together that was going to take the ferry to Mobile,
okay,
train to Bay Minette, and beat them back. Because, you know, we were in a horse and wagon and coming back.
Right.
Well, the story goes they made it to Mobile, but they didn't make it past Mobile because they spent the night. So the theory is they went and had too much fun in Mobile.
They got waylaid.
The train. And didn't make it to Bay Minette. But I have a question for you. Do you know where the first county seat was for Baldwin County?
First county seat for Baldwin County would be...
It's not currently in Baldwin County.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know then.
McIntosh Bluff.
Really? So in Mobile County?
Baldwin County used to stretch all the way to the Mississippi line. So the county seats were McIntosh Bluff, followed by Blakely, where Blakely State Park is.
That was going to be my guess until you said it wasn't in...
And then Bay Minette. So fun history fact for you.
Before Mobile County would... Wow. So that's... And at that point, too, Baldwin County obviously would have been huge, but still, Baldwin County is, what is it? It's the one of the largest counties east of the Mississippi.
Yep. It's bigger than the state of Rhode Island.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Baldwin County.
Geographically.
Is bigger than Rhode Island. How did I not know that?
You know, we love being north of Interstate 10, and northern Baldwin County is so rural, but a lot of people forget, once you pass Interstate 10, you're not even halfway up Baldwin County yet.
Really? And when you leave Bay Minette, I'll tell you right now, before you get up heading towards Blackshear and all that, you still got a ways to go.
Oh, yeah. It's a good 30, 40-minute drive to the tip-top end of Baldwin County from Bay Minette.
Right, because people say, oh, I'm way at the north end of Baldwin County in Bay Minette. And I'm like, nope, y'all got a ways to go.
You're geographically in the center. Technically, the central Baldwin County geographically is right around the Holly Hills golf course area, mm-hmm, on 59. So it's funny because I have 25% of the population and 50% of the land mass.
Right.
And there are four other chambers with 75% of the population.
But you know, that's one of the things you and I also talked about off the air, that, and this kind of ties into a conversation we've been having for months and months and months, mm-hmm, around here on this show, and the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, expansion of the Bayway. This all comes from the traffic issues. You know, it's 118 later on today. When Kane comes back on the air with us at 4, we'll have traffic problems probably somewhere, mm-hmm, around the Bayway. You can, if you're in Bay Minette and working in Mobile, I mean, if you're in Baldwin County and working in Mobile, Bay Minette is I make that drive once in a while. That's a really good option.
It's a very easy drive. We, of course, being in the chamber, we work with new residents and people all the time. And a lot of times new families land there because they work in different areas and different splits. And it, you know, we're an hour from Pensacola. Mm-hmm. We're 20 minutes, 30 minutes from downtown Mobile. But we have multiple options. You know, you, mm-hmm, can jump on 225 and hit the Bayway. Or like I did today, you can swing around on 65. And it's the same amount of time. It actually, today, would have taken less time to go 65 than I-10 to get
right
here.
Right, and more, I mean, not that there's traffic everywhere in today's world, but it seems like, listening to the traffic accounts like I do every afternoon in here, 65 southbound coming from Bay Minette to Mobile, it's a lot more consistently unclogged,
yes,
than it would be doing the same thing with the Bayway. So this is good. If people want to get, okay, what about this? If people want to find out more about the event coming up in October, or Delta Dash, or even maybe relocating somewhere in North Baldwin County, how do they get in touch with you?
You can give me a call at the North Baldwin Chamber. It's 251-937-5665. Or you can hop over to our website, northbaldwinchamber.com. Lots of good information on there. Our events calendar, Our calendar is unique. It's shared with the city, so what's on one calendar is on the other. You can get all the information on any upcoming event there, or just give us a call, and we'll be glad to talk to you.
Perfect, so. And best of luck. Delta Dash, they can get signed up at regular price now through Saturday?
Yep, now through Saturday is $55. Sunday it goes to $65, and the event is Saturday the 28th.
All right, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, always a pleasure, and we'll be right back taking some calls at 343-0106, and text. We'll run through those as well. Coming right back. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Y'all say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's good. And I want to talk coins with you. We're always talking about the coins, and I do want to talk about some of the coins you have available and the silver rounds as we purchase them. But y'all also buy coins.
We certainly do. It's one of the questions we get every day. People see the collections of coins we have and go, wow, how'd you get that? Do you guys ever buy anything? And yes, we do. We buy coins. We buy jewelry. We buy sterling silver flatware. We do free appraisals. So if you have a collection of stuff, like what we just mentioned, and you want to see if it's worth anything, you can come by the shop. It usually only takes just a few minutes. We'll go through it, evaluate it, and let you know what we would make an offer on right now today. And if you decide to sell it for that, you're going to be walking out with some cash or a nice check.
I like it. And to also talk about different collectible, you know, talk about those coins. People can come in, even with like the coins or the rounds, when they're buying precious metals, they can find something that is not just the value in that precious metal, but you have like even pop culture stuff. People think about rounds and coins being something traditional, but you've got like, what was the John Wick things y'all had?
Yeah, we had some John Wick silver rounds, still have a few of those left. And latest one that has just come out, it's the 25th anniversary of the movie The Lion King. And it was interesting because we had somebody coming in buying something for his young grandchild, saw that, and the mom of the grandchild loved The Lion King, so he got that for her as well. So everything from Disney to Star Wars to John Wick, like you mentioned. The new Queen's Beast is actually coming out in a couple weeks. So all sorts of cool silver items, not just boring silver stuff every day.
All right, cool. Tell people how to come by and see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can also check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or go on to Facebook and like and follow us there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I love these texts. Good stuff. Doug's keeping the fight going. You hear that? He says, as a lifelong Daphnean, I'll never cede the county seat to Bay Minette. The Eastern Shore will rise again. That's what we need. We need some intercity. Can you imagine that in today's world? Think about the story, and I know just a bit of it. Ashley Davis in North Baldwin Chamber knows the story in depth, and of course, coming up next month, you'll be able to come up there for the full history of it. Can you imagine today? Imagine today if Saraland, people were like, yeah, if Saraland came and took the county seat from Mobile and then took it, went down to Government Plaza. They probably don't want it, but if they went down to Government Plaza and undid it and packed it up in some 18-wheelers and hauled it up to Saraland and set it up. Can you imagine that back then? That here they get, so Daphne has the county seat. The legislature makes a change there because of the central location of Bay Minette. So they go down, and like Ashley said, I've heard two stories too. I always heard that they locked the sheriff up somehow. But somehow they got the sheriff out of the mix. The people from Bay Minette take apart the structure of the county seat there in Daphne and put it on the wagons and haul it back up to Bay Minette. So, that's the makings of a movie, and that stuff was happening right here in our right here in our neck of the woods. It's quite a story. Talking about North Baldwin and being a good commuter community. I just see it as one of the areas. There's a lot of great places to live around here, but I know driving that section of 65 seems to be about, you know, you could be coming from somewhere, say you worked in Mobile. Now, of course, I'm a Mobile person, but if you're in Baldwin County and you're going to come to Mobile to work, if you live much to the east of, I don't know, somebody can probably draw a line here, but if you live Locksley into the east, I imagine you could probably, because of traffic issues on the Bayway, you could probably live in Bay Minette and get to work just as quickly. Yeah, Eric says, I live in Locksley. My grandma lives in Sims. The family and I were out. We're going over one Saturday afternoon about 11 to 12-ish. Traffic was backed up to the Locksley exit, so I went north through Bay Minette, 65 to 158, and made it in the same amount of time, hardly no traffic. That's pretty good. Maybe if you're looking for a new place, Bay Minette, check that. Cool community. Cool community. All right, news, and then we're right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on a Wednesday. Hey, last hour, first hour of the show, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson stopped by to talk about the Civic Center Plan B. Kind of this new proposal here, what's being proposed from the administration, from the mayor, to this Cordish company to see if they will say yes. You can hear a description of that plan. If you go back and check the podcast out for last hour, share that as well. You can get them a couple different ways. Number one, if you just want to go a la carte, you can go to fmtalk1065.com and click the podcast tab. It's right there along the top. Click that, and it'll take you there and go to Midday Mobile Wednesday, hour number one, and it'll give you a way to listen to it or share it or do both. If you subscribe, we'd love you to do that at iTunes for you Apple folks. Stitcher, if you're an old stick-in-the-mud Android user like me, with your Galaxy phone or others. You can go to Stitcher, like someone who stitches. It's a really good app. Stitcher, you can get the podcast that way as well. So subscribe to get it there. And plus, if you go to Spotify for music, you can get our podcast on Spotify and also the TuneIn Radio app, which I have not lived up to what I was going to do here. Remind you daily about that. That's the way you listen to us on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio. So the word tune and in, mashed together into one word, tune in, and then radio. That is a free app for your iPhone or your Android phone. Go to, like, I go to Google Play or you go to iTunes Store, tune in radio. That's that app that lets you listen on your smartphone. Cool thing is, too, you get a call or a text, it'll pause the audio, and then you can pick it back up when you're ready. I love that feature. But they also have our podcast on there, and you can get them there and share them as well. So last hour, that description of what the plan B is for the city from the administration, Mayor Sandy Stimson on that podcast. So you can check it out. Plus, Mike Gallagher, who was in town. I thought that was pretty cool. Mike Gallagher, who national radio show host, who does a show from 9 to noon here, so between Mobile Mornings and this show. He's out of New York, and he's heard all over the country, and he was raising money for charity, you know, doing his thing, raising money for charity, and his big donors. And to say I'm surprised would be inaccurate. To say I'm incredibly proud and had a puffed-up chest when I knew he was coming to Mobile to celebrate this would be true. Big donors, anonymous donor, and also the folks over at Fair Hope Direct with their Christian cards and gift items, both stepped up to give money to the charities Mike Gallagher was talking about. Mike came to town to have dinner with one set of donors and go out and hang out with the folks at Fair Hope Direct today. I think that's great. I was, again, not surprised, but proud when the rest of the country sees what kind of community we have here and the great folks in our city and our general area. So y'all, awesome, as always, and good to have Mike Gallagher. That podcast as well, talking to him, is on the Last Hour's podcast. You can go check it out. All right, a couple stories here. I'm going to get to the Amish people pulled over for drinking in a second. I can't help it. I mean, it's one of those. I know it's not hard-hitting news, but it needs saying. It needs saying. And plus, yes, somebody asking on the text line, sure, we'll take some calls here if you want to talk about the plan B for the Civic Center development. I'd love to hear from you at 343-0106. Plus, we can talk about the loss. And let's remind folks, too, Tuscaloosa dealing with what we've dealt with here in Mobile, a loss of one of their police officers. Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox said 40-year-old Darnell Cousette, father of two daughters who'd been with TPD for more than a decade, was murdered and claimed the life of Tuscaloosa police officer late Monday afternoon. And right now, they have made an arrest in that case. And the person they arrested, I think, is 20 in this case. We'll keep our eyes on it. But Tuscaloosa as a community dealing with what we've dealt with right here in our neck of the woods. All right. Okay. Odds and ends stories. I do have to get these squared away. Where do you want to go first? Do you want to go to Ohio or Florida? Dalton, Ohio or Florida? The Ohio or Florida? Which one? Ohio or Florida? What's your vote? What's your vote? Ohio or Florida? You can go either place.
Buckeye State.
Okay. The Ohio.
That's right.
So we'll go to The Ohio, and a lawmaker in Ohio is seeking to label pornography as a health hazard. Now, I don't know, before I get into the story, I have not, you know, I don't know if this is flavored pornography or just tobacco-flavored pornography. I'm not...
Take it off the shelves.
So from WCMH... in Columbus, Ohio, one Ohio lawmaker is calling pornography a public health hazard and on Tuesday discussed legislation that would recognize it as such. Mm. Republican State Representative Jenna Powell argues viewing pornography contributes to human trafficking, a sexually toxic environment, and harms children. Power also claims it's responsible for decreased desire for young men to marry or engage socially.
Mm.
They went on to say here, let's see, this is Aaron Baer, president of Citizens for Community Values, say, while we might not be able to go out and outright ban pornography or things like that, we can have a conversation and encourage Ohioans to act responsibly and think twice before they look at porn. If passed, this law would encourage education, prevention, and policy changes. Adult industry advocates, advocates of Free Speech Coalition, calls the resolution outdated morally with no science or data to back it up. Now, let me say this. As always, I'm going to split this down the middle.
Okay.
I'm a free market person, but in the free market, I want people to know what they're getting into.
Right.
Right. So if they could have a label the way they do on alcohol and tobacco and things, if they could label
a warning
the pornography,
label.
Say, in the Surgeon General shows... You know, enlist whatever the Surgeon General would show, or these products. This product contains list maybe the things that are contained in the product.
Yes,
some labeling here, so people in a free market environment can make their own decisions on what they consume.
So, for instance, when you go to the movies, you know there's ratings.
Right.
You got G, PG, yes. PG-13, and everyone knows that most pornography falls under the X rating. Are you suggesting an additional rating system where you rate the X-rated movies on there, and then you say this is what's in this X-rated movie?
I think the descriptor.
Okay.
And I might have to sign on for the job at writing the descriptor because, like, you know, when you watch, okay, so a movie will be PG-13 mm-hmm. or R, and I'm looking at that because I have, you know, I have a teenager and a younger child, and it'll say it's for language, or right. it's for violent content, or it's
or now they say
strong sexual content or something like that.
Includes smoking or references
isn't
to
that,
smoking.
Isn't that ridiculous? That's something that can get you a plussed up rating if people are smoking in your movie. That's the dumb, that, when, at that point, we have surrendered all sense in this world.
And I was just watching a video the other day of the NFL draft in like 1970 or right. 60, where Howard Cosell was smoking cigarettes while he was, broadcasting the draft, and every single NFL owner, and we've seen every single movie that used to come out, there was smoking.
What they're talking about, too, that they have to like get special dispensation if they're going to do a movie, and they have to argue that it's historical smoking. Have you heard that term?
That's right. Yeah.
Historical smoking, which we got some coworkers here
yeah.
that are historical smokers.
They are in Ripley's Believe It or Not, the book.
Their smoking is so strong, it's historical. Places I worked at, I've never been a smoker, but I mean, radio stations I started at decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
The history was I was the only person there that did not smoke. I mean, our control room, you could go by, and we have this fabric in our studios, if you've ever seen pictures of it, and most studios do, that keep the sound from bouncing around in mm-hmm. the room. And this acoustic tiles, or whatever they call this overpriced styrofoam. And you used to be able to go by and push the stuff in our studios, and honest to goodness, I swear you could see smoke come out of it. It was just like a yellow, you know, and it just make it smell like cigarettes there. That was historical smoking as well. So, no, I'm just saying that if they're going and saying, we're not trying to ban the pornography mm-hmm. in Ohio, but we want people to know what they're getting into, what kind of labeling?
Disclaimers.
I say, so this is rated X or whatever it is because of the falling
yeah,
behaviors.
And I think you mentioned it, but they do know what the internet is, right? And this is just a waste of
that
taxpayer
would be correct.
Money where they're saying, hey,
right, because they're going to somehow keep them, right. But mm-hmm. somebody obviously in the Ohio legislature that needs some attention.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we can take it to Florida.
Yeah. I mean, you always end up in Florida.
Pretty much it is. It always ends up, water finds its lowest level. As a native of the state of Florida, I can say that before you get all, Sean is shaming Florida. Well, I'm a native, one of the very few. Okay. South Florida Water Management District is looking for 50 people for a Python elimination program.
Oh, wow.
This is a gig.
Pep.
Citizens who sign up are called Python removal agents. What does that sound like? A bad line from a Schwarzenegger movie? I'm your Python elimination agent.
I know you have a Python problem.
The program started back in 2017, offers more money for snakes that are longer than 4 feet and for those guarding snake eggs. So you get the eggs as well. More than 2,500 pythons have been removed from the area over the past 2 years. People who are interested in taking part have to be at least 18.
Okay, that's a good start.
And have no recent criminal history. Why that's of note here, you got to be 18, I guess, so the state can employ you because you're becoming kind of a employee and no recent criminal history. I think if I'm looking for somebody to hunt pythons,
seriously, get a guy that has a python tattoo on his neck.
That's what I want.
It's a man who knows his pythons.
I mean, have they not seen the Dirty Dozen in those movies? You can get the team to go after the python. Get the people out of the pokey and let them go get the pythons.
Yeah, why even hire someone? Just use current inmates.
Now you're talking about just like a chain gang, but there would be a chain gang that instead of breaking up rocks, they'd be out like getting pythons.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, there you go. So that was the Ohio news and the Florida news.
That's awesome.
All right, so there's just two that were just that stood out to me.
South Florida Water Management
South Florida Water Management District.
Lots of water to manage in South Florida.
They do, and they have. You know what their mascot is?
What's that?
There'd be somebody on the text line probably can beat me to it. It's an alligator, and he's always telling you, like, don't throw things in here. I live here.
I'm sure he has a name.
It's probably Allie or something.
Probably.
Allie G.
Probably. Al.
Al. E-Gator. Something like that. But, yes, he's on all the – every canal down there has a sign, like, if you see something wrong with the water, call me. And I call, hey, there's a python in it.
I'm going to go apply right now.
All right. So there you go. Stories out of Ohio and Florida. Now we'll get back to some Alabama news. When we come back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on a Wednesday. By the way, a week out from this show hitting the road, heading to Washington D.C. I'll talk about that more in just a second. Also, I'm getting your pictures of the thermometers around town on different displays, 100 degrees, and looking at the officially 98 here at our studios. By the way, tomorrow they're saying, Dr. Bill, what did he say? High of 88. So, I mean, 10-degree drop in temperature for tomorrow, a little bit of chance of rain. And then actually Friday is going to be in the maybe 89 or so, in the upper 80s. It warms back up next week, but it's sad to say 88 will feel like a cool breeze blowing across the southwest Alabama region. I'll take it. And I think the low, what is he saying, low around 70 going into Friday morning? I'll take it. So, just one more day to endure. This has been... Once again, using a very technical term here for weather, I don't know if it's been stupid hot. It's been stupid hot. I'm not about over it. I am over it. And I will get to the, I'll get to the Amish with operating vehicle impaired story in just a second before we wrap up. But I do want to say on the serious side, and this is good. Happens every year, and it's good to see the notice here got from Congressman Bradley Byrne's office here. They're holding Academy Night at St. Paul's Episcopal School. This goes on Monday, October 14th. This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. The event goes on in the Dr. Monty L. Moore Theater on the St. Paul's Episcopal School campus. The purpose of Academy Night is to emphasize the educational opportunities available at the five distinguished United States Service Academies and to provide information on the requirements and procedures for seeking a congressional nomination. I have friends that had their children out at this thing and have a friend that has a child in one of these academies now. This is how you do it. Representatives from the U.S. Naval Academy, U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, U.S. Air Force Academy, U.S. Military Academy, and the U.S. Coast Guard Academy will be present to answer questions about their respective service institution. Academy Night is open to all interested high school students and their parents and teachers who live in AL1, Alabama's first congressional district. To learn more about the event, you can contact St. Paul's College Counseling Office, and I'll give you the phone number, but you're riding down the road, you just Google it, 461-2144, or Allison Clark, Event Coordinator, 989-2664. But if you go look at the, I'm sure the social media platforms for Congressman Byrne, it'll be up there. We'll also link it through on ours as well. But this is Academy Night. It happens once a year. We talk about this. Your chance to come out if you have that high schooler interested in looking at one of the United States Service Academies. This is the night to do it. It is October 14th, Monday, October 14th at St. Paul's Episcopal School. All right. And then on the flip side of things, so I would say one end of the spectrum is service to our nation and going through a U.S. Service Academy. And then the other side is what happened in Trumbull County in Ohio. Another Ohio story. Trumbull County's Amish country, the problems are often the same. This is what the story from the news leader, North Ohio news leader, whatever that is, says the problems are often the same as the rest of the world. They just look different. Authorities are trying to find two men who took off running when they were pulled over for drinking and driving in a buggy. Sheriff's deputy, here we go, was on patrol in North Bloomfield when he spotted two Amish men drinking spiked iced tea. Now, how do you know that was... Come on, law enforcement friends, how would you be able to detect it was spiked iced tea? Oh, okay, here's the other clue. On top of their buggy was a 12-pack of beer. So they had stored... It's not going to be obvious. That's up on top there. I guess they had the top rack there on the buggy. They had stashed the 12-pack of beer. And one more thing, that buggy did have a stereo system with large speakers. Talk about inconspicuous. Because the horse and buggy are considered a vehicle, in Ohio, drinking and driving laws apply. Okay, according to Joe Dugrovich with the Trumbull County Sheriff's Office, said it is a vehicle, it's on the roadway, and the OVI, which is operating a vehicle impaired law, does apply. You're not allowed to drink and drive or operate a buggy. The deputy pulled the buggy over, if I had video of that. I pulled the buggy over, but the two men weren't sticking around and bolted into a heavily wooded area on the side of the road. So then you had a chase. At the same time, the horse that pulled the buggy took off running with the buggy. The deputy caught the horse after a short chase, but the men got away. That's the old tactic, right? Split up. Only one officer, you split up. Send the horse one way. You and your buddy split up. Local farmers taking care of the horse until authorities can find the owner. Because there's not a VIN on it. You know, it's not the same. No tags. Sheriff's office still wants to talk with the men who could be charged with failure to comply when the deputy ordered them to stop. The sheriff there said maybe there's just the fear of consequences that would be a reality for them, that there are consequences, but I encourage them to come forward and get their buggy and horse. There you go. So, who'd have thunk it? They had the buggy with the stereo system and the beer on the roof. There's a letter of the law and there's a spirit of the law in the Amish world, isn't it? Mennonites, too. Y'all are good. Letter of the law, spirit of the law. Maybe I shouldn't say spirit of the law. 158, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. See y'all mañana for Mobile Mornings. Have a great one.